Thank you for downloading this episode of the Dad Podcast. You want to help support the show? Tell your friends. Get the word out. Facebook, Twitter, smoke signals. Maybe even take out a Craigslist personal. Whatever you gotta do.
I said, hey, listen to me. Listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun. And get crazy, have some fun.
Welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. Early morning record. How are you, dear Paco?
This was a terrible idea.
Milk was a bad choice.
Yes. I'm fine.
I, on the other hand, am feeling great. See, here's the thing. Another one of the greatest things my father...
You sound exactly the same as you do when we do this 3 hours later.
Because my father made me get a paper out, and I had to get up for nothing short of 8 years.
Yeah.
Every day, I was awake at 5 a.m. Now, how I did not translate my ability and interest in being up at the crack of fucking dawn...
Yes.
And making people laugh and translate that into morning radio is what makes me the stupidest person alive. Then to have that to where I go out on the road and the part that I am, like it goes show. Show is number one.
Yes.
But the very next thing I'm the most excited about, to the point where I was borderline begging club owners to say, hey, is there any radio tomorrow? I'd love to get up at 5 a.m. and just watch people do radio.
Oh my God, that's
what
funny.
I would do. Because, well, we don't really like to have the features on the air. And I'd be like, I'll just watch. I'll just come in and watch. I just want to see it happen.
Yeah.
And I didn't care if it was bad. I mean, clearly, look at this show. I just, I like it. I like it a lot. You know, good times. Well, here's very exciting news. I don't know if you can hear this. Right there is the first grade supplies list, courtesy of Burbank Schools, bitches.
I recognize that paper.
As the 2014-15 school year draws to a close, I don't know when this was sent. I'll be honest with you. I found it on my fridge when I was posting the new school year schedule. And the fact that my wife had to have opened that... and then hid it from me. I'm also very, upset at the fact.
Hang on.
What?
It doesn't matter when. It would have had to have been sent last year this time, because this is the 2015-2016.
No, I know.
Oh, okay.
That's why I read line one. Like,
sorry, all right, yeah. No, that's right. You've been watching radio a lot longer than I have.
I study the game.
Yeah.
I read that, and then I realized, though, because what I was saying is that I didn't want people to think I got it today, and that's why that was weird. It's still weird, but it says right there, May 2015 is when it was sent. So I don't know when this happened.
I see.
But it's still wrong, because it is not the 2014-2015 school. Well, technically it is.
How?
Because the school year starts in the fall of 2014 and ended in May of 2015. The government has won again. It's very early for us, Paco. I've got a part-time job.
I'm wearing slippers.
I don't know why, but at some point, people are drinking at ungodly hours of the morning now.
Yes.
So here it is. Let's get into it. One box, 24-pack Crayola crayons, not Rosart. I don't know who the fuck Rosart is and why she thinks she can move in on the Crayola game, but this bitch be crazy, yo.
Yeah.
To think she could come in and get up in Cray Cray's business. Ticonderoga, try right, in quotes, pencils number two. There are three levels to pencil qualification. Even Charles fucking Darwin is looking at this going, do we need to go that far? High polymer erasers. Now we need space age technology to erase our children's fuck ups.
Yes.
Two reams of copy paper, one white, one color. I don't know if you know this, Pop.
Yes, those erasers. Those erasers are available at the gift shop at NASA.
You just got to head over to Houston.
Yeah, right.
You get a discount if you come to the guy and go, I got a problem. And that's what he means is right. You need an eraser because you have a problem. Yeah. See what I did there?
Seriously, go ahead.
Two reams of copy paper, one white, one color. Now, I don't like to segregate my paper.
I understand.
I feel like all pieces of paper should be able to drink from. Listen, if you're going to let the gays get married, you're going to let paper drink from the same fountain. That's what I say.
Yeah, they don't let them fall into the same tray.
No construction paper. I don't know why they're going after good blue-collar workers.
Nope.
No multicolor packs. Fuck those multicolor packs. I don't need variety. But see, here's the thing I have with it. So clearly what they want is they want, like, just, so I guess yellow, so they can, they must not care about the color. Because what I would love nothing more to do is to get a email tree going with the parents at this particular school and say, everybody buys the worst, like, black. Yeah. You know, I don't know, something that would just.
Puce.
Yeah, something that would just screw them up. Everybody brings in the same color paper.
Right.
And then wait for the follow-up note going, we actually only have red sheets of paper, so if you could bring other color. Oh, now you want multi, bitch. Glue sticks, small size. Listen, we know we're asking for a lot with the three levels of pencil qualification, and we're bringing you into our beef with Rose and her crayon issues, but the glue sticks is where we're going to compromise, okay? Right. We're going to loose it up. Three composition books, 9 3/4 inch by 7.5 inches. What? He's in first fucking grade. What? What am I going to do? I'm going to show up with a little steno pad that's like 2 by 3 inches. Like, I feel like everybody knows what a composition book is. Expo dry erasers, black only. They've deserved to be the top of one thing. Chisel tip and fine point, thin size only. Now we're getting fattest. I don't even know if that's a word, but I'm going to make it up. They only want fine, thin size only Expo markers.
Fattest. I didn't understand.
That's all right. It's early. Lysol wipes and baby wipes. I don't know why those are. So Lysol wipes are for surfaces and baby wipes are for skin?
You don't want to use the Lysol wipe.
That's horseshit.
On the can.
That's on the can. Oh, no. Well, you don't use baby wipes on the can either. You can't flush those.
No, but you could use one.
But they use them to, like, clean hands and faces at the school. I feel like you could use a Lysol wipe. My wife gets all weird about me using the Lysol wipe on the face. And since Jacob's gotten a third eye, I think he's a lot more productive. If I can be honest with you. Kleenex. Soft soap, antibacterial hand soap. So it has to be the soft soap brand. Here's where I just realized, though. We all know, everybody's seen that Instagram thing where it's like, my kid won't eat this, is what it's called. And it's where, like, they got the Nutri-Grain bars, my favorite one, and they have the open and then said she wouldn't eat this because the packaging is different. Yeah. So the only reason that I'm kind of wrapping my mind, and I would backpedal a little bit, is on the soft soap, is that then if one, because the soft soap is the one that has the little fucking, they got to use those Nemo fish on everything to make it. It is so, I wish that I could have like a fucking SpongeBob brand for my barbecue, and then I could just put SpongeBob on my steak or whatever, or chicken breast. Whenever I cook it. Yeah. And just psh, there you go. Look, SpongeBob endorses this fine New York strip steak that my vegetarian son won't eat for not ethical reasons, just to piss me off because I've made a perfectly cooked New York strip steak. Anyway, so I guess that soft soap has Nemo on it and they don't want people, because if you get the other one that has just a fucking pear, I would like to get the one that has like the pumice in it so it exfoliates their face and hands.
Right.
$1 donation towards pencil box that teacher provides. I would be okay with that being on the list.
Yeah.
If I could be honest, so far I am 12 items into the list.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right. But it shouldn't be a $1 donation towards a pencil box. It should be bring your kids a pencil box.
Oh, I see.
So what it is the teachers go out and buy a ton of pencil boxes, and then the kids get to, I don't know. But I feel like if I buy the pencil box, then it's like, oh, well, everybody's so worried about the kids and their fucking self-esteem. It's good for them to feel uncomfortable and to feel lesser. It gives them a fire. You know what I mean?
Yes,
to look at, here's the thing. I honestly think that we put too much of our own thing in them. It's like, I don't think the kid really cares about the fact that I never looked at somebody else and goes, oh, they have an Iron Man pencil box. I wish I was them.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
That what it's
social
about.
Status handles that yeah. far better than pencil boxes could ever affect that, in my opinion.
I got you. I got you.
Let's see. A spiral notebook, wide ruled, single subject, 8.5 by 11. Highlighters, thin. We don't want any fat dry erase markers.
No.
We don't want any fat highlighters. Yellow, blue, pink, and green. And these are optional. Hand sanitizer, antibacterial gel. Markers, Crayola. Fuck Rose and her art again. She's trying. She hasn't even gotten into the marker game, but we want to make it clear. She doesn't even have the ability to put her foot in the door.
Exactly.
Colored pencils. We don't say Crayola. We don't, you know. A pencil, who gives a shit? Let Rose have that.
Yeah, right.
That's what I say. Thank you for your support in this effort. What are we doing? What are we doing? P.S. Keep this list posted or check at Staples or OfficeDepot.com for our lists. Because, you know, if you think about it, there's brides, mothers-to-be,
yeah.
and public schools that are registered.
What I like to imagine with the pencil box scenario is that the ladies got together, all the teacher ladies got together over the summer and took down a semi filled with pencil boxes. And now they're selling them to you
yeah.
at a dollar a shot out of the back of their car.
That's like, I would like to make that teacher heist movie.
Yeah, right.
Like, and they just, they're like, all of their smoke bombs are like right. shaped like an apple.
Yeah, there
when they
you
throw
go.
It in right. there, you know, they don't actually use guns or anything. It's all yardsticks. And there's one girl who's really adept and she uses rulers like size. Raphael of the Ninja Turtles for anybody who's in their early to mid 30s. So I don't know. And then the other thing that happened yesterday is that now it's just so funny. It's like they go, they want you to sign up and register your kid online now is mm-hmm. this new thing that you have to do.
This is the school or the yeah. pedophiles?
I wish. The hey guys, I found him.
Yeah.
We got a website going. The no, right. the school says, here's a new portal, and they're all worried about the people who don't have a computer.
Right.
And it's like, and I hate this. Like, here's the thing. I get that there are a large amount of people who don't have computers. I don't mm-hmm. expect everybody to be able to rustle up, you know, $120 to get a frickin' used notebook somewhere or something.
Yeah, right.
But I don't like the idea. It's like, so we have this thing that's going to make it easy for 95% of the people in the
yes.
school's population,
yes.
but we have to really handle this other 5% with mittens. Like, they're not aware of the fact
right.
that they don't have a computer. And I think of those 5%, I'm willing to bet money that 2.5 of them are don't have a computer because of financial reasons. The other 2.5 are it's because they think aliens or Big Brother is going to get their way into their house. And right. for those people, lost cause, move on.
You left out the 0.1% who
of the USA Today pie chart.
Yeah, the USA Today pie chart, who are like the old, when I was in the 70s or whatever, there's always that one kid who didn't, his family didn't have a TV because they weren't, you know, they weren't going to watch TV. That's a waste of
early
time.
Early adopter hippies?
Yeah, exactly. Or late. So there's probably a group of parents who are like, well, my, you know, my kids aren't going to be all, you know, jacked up on the internet. And is abstaining.
I like
for,
the TV rotted your brain,
reason.
But internet gets you jacked up.
Well,
you see, hear about that kid? He lifted a cop car when they tried to stop him for jaywalking. Why? He was all jacked up on that internet. He's watching the U-porns on there, and he got his prepubescent hormones on fire.
That was my Midwestern coming out, I guess.
All jacked up on. I like it.
Yeah.
So I filled out all those forms, and then it's like, and it's what's great is that they had a meeting. The principal came and told the PTA members this, like, we're going to go now tell our villages.
I don't yeah, know
what's
right.
going on here. It's not Paul Revere. But anyway, I go, so she said that we're going to do this portal and then blah, blah, blah. And it's, everything's going to be online now. I'm like, oh, great. But then I get there and I do the thing and you have to, all it is like, hey, guess what? We need 2 reams of paper.
Right.
And we needed two reams of paper last year. And next year, probably still going to need two reams of paper. But what we've done is we've saved about 4,000 sheets of paper because now we're not printing everything. We found a website that will let you print it at home.
Right, right.
Which I don't mind. I don't. That doesn't bother me. But I was expecting, the whole idea of this was it's going to save the school a lot of money because they don't have to mail these out, yes. generate them, pay yes. somebody to do it. And then now they put together this website. And then now I'm printing it. It's self-checkout. But I don't know. Maybe at some point I will... I've fallen in love with self-checkout, as we discussed.
I thought what you were sort of heading towards was the fact that, you know, now they saved all this paper, but they still need more. Mm-hmm. The same amount more. And yeah. they saved all this money, but they still have a long list of shit that's the same list.
We all get. There's no way any of these numbers are changing unless there's an actual pitchfork and torch riot at the next town hall meeting in the right. school's theater. Right. The numbers are never going to change, no matter what. I mean, we're still going to need two reams of paper, even when paper has been outlawed. There's going to be some kind of Mad Max Fury Road of the suburbs situation where people are going to be fighting over the last ream of paper so that their kid will be, smiled upon by their first grade
right.
teacher.
Right. Hearing you read that particular announcement, mm-hmm. I must bring, as it does to the listeners, as it does to me, sort of that little joy to your heart when, you know, in November you hear the first Christmas song.
Yep.
Yeah, it's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah.
I'm getting things it's from almost the school.
That time.
It's almost there. People in the chat room were talking about it already, like school supplies purchased. So it's happening all around. And the seasons are changing.
Right. And once again, Luna and I are like, oh, wait, it's that time? What? We're never paying any attention.
So here's a fun story that I think is pretty debatable. I don't know if anybody's heard this. This is from Portland, Maine, but I found this on an English website, news website called Daily Mail.
As in British.
Yes. What did I say?
English, but I understand.
Oh, British, yeah, because English is a language. My bad. Yeah.
No, that's okay.
It made her, I'm full of excuses. I have a part-time job. It's early. There is no expectation of success ever. So this lady owns a diner. It's evidently a very small diner. And a two-year-old girl is crying. Now, the owner, this is where, you know, you do the sitcom where you see things from his perspective and then you go back and see it from her perspective.
Right.
And she's a super angel and he's very polite, you know, that kind of thing. She
right.
says the kid was crying for 40 minutes. What I like is the mom of the child says that she was crying for 10 minutes. As if to say, see, that makes me believe, that part right there makes me lean more towards the owner. Is that because, hey, 10 minutes is still a long time, bitch, for you to be ignoring your kid. I get it. Like, if you're right. at home and the kid wants to throw a fit, yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
But you don't let it screw everybody else's day up.
Right.
Now, if you're on a plane, I get it because it's not like you could go, you know what? If you don't stop it right now, we're leaving.
Right.
And that would be great. They should do that for dads. Give you a parachute.
Yeah.
You know, just put it next to, you know, they always take up that overhead bin with the seatbelt and the life vest right. that nobody uses. Nobody right. knows how to use it.
Right.
Whenever somebody is like, what do I do? It's going to be four women going around blowing up life vests for 1,800 people. But anyway, 1,800. How many, what kind of plane? I fly on very big planes.
Airbus. Yeah. Yeah.
the kind of planes you use to evacuate a planet is what I fly on. That's why I had to stop doing comedy. It's very expensive because not everybody is flying to Omaha on that given day. Not
right.
1,800 people at
yeah.
least. So
you're at the funny bones on Pluto.
But to be able to put the life of, you want to go? I'll take you. We'll jump out of this plane. They will let you. Just
right.
to, you know, have a boogeyman type situation.
Not even a wheel. Yeah. I'll throw open a window and out you go.
Yeah.
Don't forget to pull the cord.
Yeah. good luck. So anyway, so it's the kid screaming and I feel like everybody listening to this would be like, oh, kid's throwing a fit, it's a bad day, it sucks, I would like to enjoy a nice meal out, but I'm gonna get up, I'm gonna go outside, maybe take the kid to the car or just go home, call it a night. We're gonna pull the ripcord.
Right.
And say, that's it. I you win, I lose.
Right.
But you may have won this battle, but you have not won the war
right.
is the situation you come right. at that with. Well, let's kid scream, and owner of the diner gets in the little girl's face and says, this has to stop now,
whoa,
is the way it's told by the mother. Now, when the owner describes it, she says that she got into the mother's face and said, this has to stop now, and then pointed at the little girl and said, you need to knock it off.
I like that version.
Yeah. And the little girl was kind of scared and stopped crying. So then the lady, I guess the mom says at that point,
the crowd's
she goes,
cheered.
Yes, exactly. The mom said that she goes, you see, this is why we treat you the way we treat you, because we never want you to be this person. And it's like,
oh, referring to the owner.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is why I think the owner is going to sound like a big bitch. And you may not be wrong, because we're dancing along this line here, because I think that so far, I don't know about you.
Yeah.
I'm kind of on the side of the owner so far. And then the lady goes home. And
I've thought of doing this myself. Not that I've heard it going on and crying and crying, but like I'll be at Target and I'll see some kid just being a brat.
Yeah.
And I just want to go up and go, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Not because it's bothering me, but I know it's a bunch of bullshit and it's got to be making that other person crazy, that parent.
Yeah. It's a weird, because I've taught, it's that idea of external intervention where the way you put it, if that was a social convention and I understood that you were just doing it just to be some like jarring stranger, to be like, knock it off.
Yeah.
And that snaps them out of whatever mode they're in and realize it's like, to me, I feel like kids get in a mode where it's like, you know how you think you could pick your nose in a car because nobody can see you?
Wait a minute, what?
It's surrounded by windows so everybody can see you.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So I think that's what kids get into, and this kid is into that. Like, even though they're at a diner, a kid forgets where they are. And you also kind of have to set that boundary for the kid, right? You got to be able to say, hey, we're in a public place, not the place to scream. Shut your face. And I've done that. I do a lot of the shoulder grab, you know what I mean? Where it's like, it looks like I'm just resting my hand on your shoulder. But if you zoomed in on my nose, knuckles, they're white as fuck, and I'm like, I'm about ready to Wolverine that kid in the shoulder and go, you need to knock it. And I do a lot of the, because I feel like it adds to the creepiness. I lean and I smile and go, you better knock it off.
Right.
All right. This shit's about to get real.
Right. What's funny is you say Wolverine him, and my generation would say the Vulcan nerve pinch.
No, I don't want him to go unconscious. I want him to feel everything.
Oh, okay. Just as a point of reference.
I like it. So anyway, so then the lady goes back home, and she writes this horrible, horrible review saying, we had the most horrible experience at this restaurant. And then, I guess because Portland, Maine, not that big a place, I don't know, she says, this is what she posted on Facebook. I had the worst experience at this establishment. The owner is an absolute lunatic and screamed in the face of my almost 2-year-old child because she was crying. Who in their right mind would behave like this unless you were deranged? Do you have a problem with a child crying? Then you are not suitable to run a business. I don't know if I agree with that statement, and I have kids.
No.
If it bothered you so much, you should have spoken to me and not traumatized my child by screaming in her face.
If you don't know how to wrangle a child in public,
you should not be in the business of parenting.
Exactly. Yeah. Take it to the car.
May karma bite you in the ass is what. Now, here, that's where I do agree. But see, according to the owner first went to the mom and said, this needs to stop.
Yes. The mother should have a switch in her fucking head that says this needs to stop.
And then looked at the kid and said, you need to knock it off. And she said, I pointed at her. And she said, and so this is, oh, and another thing that I forgot in the previous part of the article is there was a waitress that was helping him. She said, the waitress looked like she was going to be in tears and was apologizing to us. She couldn't believe the behavior of her boss. Now, that's the thing that makes me go back to the mother, is that there's a waitress there, but maybe the waitress is just worried about her tip. It's like, oh, great, now the boss lady yelled at her.
Now, when you
said bad enough, I'm working a breakfast shift at a diner. That's what, a $3 tip per table?
Right, maybe.
Yeah.
I interrupted you. You were saying you kind of agreed with something in the post about karma?
No. I'm saying if it bothered you so much, you should have spoken to me and not traumatized. Okay. So I agree with the mom is that, that's a conversation. You don't go after a 2-year-old because the 2-year-old isn't really responsible for their actions.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also don't think that the child was traumatized. I don't really think that saying, you need to knock it off.
I don't even care if it was.
Well, that's true. Good point.
I mean, that mother brought it on herself. But I do agree that it sounds like the owner was a person who waited well past the point at which they were able to be reasonable in order to interrupt. Right. So you have all this resentment built up already.
And the owner comes in, and she chimes in on Facebook, which I love. So it's like, how do you know this person well enough to be able to go, let's look online to what she's doing? I also like the idea of posting restaurant reviews on Facebook, like in Portland, Maine. Hey, guess what? Portland, there's a thing called Yelp, and you can just go there, and that'll actually have an effect, I guess, unless everybody goes, honey, what do you want to eat? I don't know. Let's check Facebook. Let's see what's good around here. Let's see what Tara Carson is saying about the local digs and dives.
Yes, except that this mother knows that her friends are going to see that her local friends are going to see it. Whereas if you put it on Yelp, if no one's going to you, you know, if no one's going to Yelp.
Yeah, like, yeah. Okay, because I think Yelp also has a friends feature to it. It's early in the morning.
I know.
I have a part-time job. Things are hard for us, guys. So this is Marcy of Marcy's Diner. She says, it all started because your party needed 3 full-size pancakes for this 2-year-old. 3 fucking pancakes at Marcy's. I believe right there should have told me you were ignorant. The waitress even told you there was an issue with 3 full-size pancakes from Marcy's. But no, you want them for, yep, a fucking child. Whatever. I have a very small space both on my grill and in my diner, so it takes a moment. So when things get busy, we wait. After your 4th attempt to shut her up, I asked you to pack up either your rotten child or take the so important pancakes to go. But no, you just sit there and let your fucking screaming kid and piss off. Let your fucking screaming kid. I'm assuming because there is, see how it's blurred, like it's bleeping.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'm filling in my own explicatives. I could be more creative and say your fuck knuckle screaming kid.
Well, thank you for
Mad Libs, but I'm trying to have some journalistic integrity.
Right. Well, this could be a part of the country where even gosh is one of the swear words, so it could be goshing.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. If it were the Midwest, it's the Northeast. So this is actually, these are all cunt, is what these are all saying. If it's the Northeast. So she says, fucking screaming kid, and piss off my staff and my patrons. Fuck you. And guess what? She shut the fuck up after I yelled from 5 feet away. I was in your stupid husband's face. It was, so I think what she means to say is, it was your stupid husband's face that I was in with the one without any balls.
Oh,
I have a business
God.
To run. And yes, I am fucking crazy. And you are lucky I didn't get really fucking nuts, because being physical is not something I cower from, male or female. Your lesson today, not everyone thinks you and your family are all that, and at least none at Marcy's Diner. So
wow,
here's the thing. Like, I get it,
yes.
But it kind of, you lose a little bit of credibility.
I think that
you start yelling at somebody over the internet.
I think yes, that. I think you start to, once you start cursing or whatever was done to the blurred out things, you start to completely undermine yourself there. That very end was what I liked.
Yeah.
The last, curse-free section. But here's the thing that really, are you done with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a couple of things I need to say. One is that I think you might need to reconsider your business of making food for people if you can't make more than 3 pancakes at once. Is she cooking on a Coleman stove?
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on at Marcy's?
I feel like here's the thing. I feel like that, I don't know.
If you want what?
3 full-size pancakes?
For a 2-year-old?
Do I look like an International House of Pancakes to you?
Here's the thing. I don't remember. Tara, was that the name of the mother? Something like that?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the thing, Marcy. The baby needs a third of a pancake.
Right.
The other two-thirds are for Tara.
Yeah. And my assumption is that at this diner they do like silver dollar pancakes or something, like kind of small size, but it's like,
I guess so.
But well, here's the thing, to me, unless the kid is even
how many other patrons could there have been bothered if she can only make she can't make 3 pancakes?
It has
at
to
once.
Be a pretty small place, is what I'm guessing. That's obviously step
like
one.
A
she
phone
says
booth.
It's small, but but it's like
a baby crying in a phone booth.
But at the same time, I agree with the owner. It's like just order off the menu. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you come right. in. See, here's the thing. I think that easily, first glance, we get all wrapped up in this lady's use of capitalization, exclamation marks, and cursing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we kind of go, oh, she's a little bit fucking crazy.
Because it will make her look more crazy if I can actually see the...
But I think that you add to the fact that the mom has got this 2-year-old that she, on her angle of the story, let cry for 10 minutes straight.
Right.
And also has it like, if you can't handle a crying child, then you shouldn't have a business. It's like, yeah. It's one thing to be like, oh, because I think we've all seen it. We've all seen the kid lose their mind.
Yeah.
And especially if you have kids. I always wish I could go back and see what I thought before I had kids, because I think there are people out there like, shut that kid up.
Right.
And it's like, no, there are moments that a kid will snap and you'll lose it. And I mean, I saw it at a birthday party, and it was, it's so funny. It's to watch parents become like meerkats or a pack of dogs because this kid started losing his freaking mind.
Yeah.
And everybody just kind of sat still and didn't want to look at the kid too much. And was like doing this very like kind of monkey behavior of like,
oh, make eye contact.
And then trying to maintain conversations. It was like everybody's conversation, the other person you're talking to instantly became a large-breasted woman in a low-cut top, and you were trying to just say, what color are her eyes? What color are her eyes? What color? You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
It just, it was stilted and weird, and everybody's, but this kid was losing his mind, and to the parents' credit, they were pretty calm about it.
Yeah.
And then there's a part of it where it's like, you look a little too calm. Like, we all,
you know what I mean? With your smiley, friendly grip.
Yeah.
Anyone, why you're not fooling any authorities with that.
No, I think, here's the thing. I think that it looks creepy to the kid, but I think when people see the lean in, you know what I mean? That's, I don't know what they, I need to figure out what they mean by lean in parenting because that's what I'm assuming they mean. So I'm doing it. Yeah. You're welcome, Obama.
That's my
new thing. Instead of thank you, Obama, I say you're welcome. Because I do for my country, not what they could do for me.
The very last thing for me is that a crying baby is so annoying that that story, which may have only lasted 10 minutes, felt like it was 40.
You might be closer to the truth on the second one. We've gone through a letter and that story, and we're halfway through. Let's see. Do I want to get into... This is pretty quick. This is interesting to me in that the... So a third of women say looks hold them back at work. One in 10 admits, this is what I found interesting, taking a day sick... when they're having a bad hair day or a bad skin day.
A bad hair day. Oh, yeah. My God.
And here's what makes me a sexist son of a bitch is that. Here's the thing. Yeah. Let me make this again. I do not say this to backpedal. This is not a cover my ass move. I have seen conversations independent of this show in the chat room between moms that listen to the show and the women that are in these articles, I do not believe are the women that listen to the show.
Okay.
You cannot be this sensitive about the your skin situation. Now, if this is eczema and I don't understand that's fine. I get it. You know what I mean? I totally get it where it's like it's a thing you're wrestling with and it's not fair and it's not cool. I had a crush on a girl in high school who had like a skin thing or whatever.
Oh.
And it was weird because I sometimes she would have like kind of a breakout and I always wanted to go up to her and go, by the way, I think you are unbelievably beautiful. But I was always afraid that it would seem like it was super creepy.
Yeah, right. Are you visiting any fetish sites now?
Well, they weren't fetish sites then, so right. I would have been safe on that part, but that's true. But anyway, so it says here, new research has shown almost a fifth of 2,000 working women polled said that they felt pressure to always look good in order to live up to social expectations. One in 10 women polled admitted to calling in sick because they are having a bad hair or skin day. Of the women who admitted to taking days off, nearly 40% confessed to regularly doing so due to feeling unhappy with their looks, while for those with skin conditions, this figure rose to 70%. Shockingly, 42% said they link their self-esteem directly with the way they look, and it's mental turmoil for the two-thirds of women who said feeling pressure to look their best affects their self-esteem. Now, I think what I was going to say earlier that's going to make me sound like a dick is that on some level, I think this is why they make like 75 cents to our dollar. No.
Right.
And that's a joke. That's a bad one. But to be honest, it really kind of like... we've talked about it multiple times on the show that I don't know why this is such a big deal to me. And I think maybe I try to figure it out. I don't have a daughter, so that's not really why I care so much. I have seen my wife wrestle with insecurities in her looks, not only after having kids, but she danced as a kid. And she recently put up on a picture on Facebook. She went and found like old pictures of herself.
Oh, yeah.
A friend of hers said, hey, my daughter wants to see Auntie Nat. They do the thing where you're friends, but you say the auntie or whatever. I'm not a fan, but it doesn't offend me.
Right.
But she said wants to see Auntie Nat when she would dance in her ballet outfits and stuff. And so she went and found this picture of like her when she was at junior high, and she put underneath it, which I thought was very weird and telling, that she's like, she goes, we all thought we were fat. But it wasn't like, oh, this modeling post. It was like, remember when we all thought we were fat and they're all like kind of rail thin little girls, you know?
Right, right.
And that bothers me. Like that, I just think, I don't know. I just feel like, I wish we could get to a point, and I, because I do think that a lot of guys, not all, I'm not going to say all,
yeah,
but I'm going to say a lot of guys look at 99.9% of the women and are like, yeah, I'm on board. And I know that doesn't make it better.
I don't think a lot of guys are, I think that there's a lot of very picky guys out there. I think you are cut from your own bolt of cloth.
No, because I've had other conversations. I mean, I just don't buy it. I here's the thing. In all my group of friends,
yeah,
I know of one person who has ever said to me, she's got to be hot. But see, even as somebody who's told jokes for a living,
hot
is very subjective.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mean,
I listen, those Jersey Shore type character, you know, from that show, those guys are not, you know,
they're not a representation. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying they do not live by the credo you have just said.
No.
I mean, I think they do it, but I don't think they'd admit it, or if they had any other option, they'd take the other option.
Yeah, but that's a valid point, but...
But then they're running around with Snooki, so who am I?
Exactly, well. Number one. Number two, I also think those are not real men.
Okay, well...
You know what I mean? Like,
all right. I love this, that you've taken... You know, I've long felt like a sorry excuse for a man, and you have taken me as the standard. You flipped it. You put it on its head that I'm a real man, and all those guys who know about cars and sports and everything else that I have no idea what's going on, those aren't real
men. But see, those guys don't know about cars. They barely know about sports. They'll tell you themselves. The only thing that those douchebags know is GTL, gym tan laundry. That's it. That's all they know. And that does not a real man make. Nobody, here's the thing. I think all the ladies in the world would like to have a guy who takes care of himself. But as quick as it was and as quickly as it was shut down, the whole dad bod thing, the reason I think you could see a very attractive, like all of the moms listening to the show, very hot ladies. I've seen a lot of Facebook pictures,
all right. Agreed.
You know what I mean? So, but chances are, most of them, sorry fellas if you're listening, probably with schlubby guys. You know what I mean?
Right.
I will put myself in that category.
Right.
And I think the reason why is that that deep down, women are the ones who ultimately are making the choice. That, you know what I mean? There's a reason why it's a part of our convention that the guy proposes to the wife and she has to, even though it's supposed to, and then it's all about her and everything, but
right.
It is her choice.
Yeah.
So it really boils down to that. I think what women are into is real men. It's like when we talked about this, I think it was like 2-3 weeks ago, is that a lot of the comments that came in weren't about, I like a guy with broad shoulders. I'd like it if he did not have hair on his back. Most of it had to do with, and again, I think this has to do with the audience of this show in particular, is that and this is why I think they're the ones who get it. They're talking about things. I like a guy who could fix stuff. I like that he helps out around the house. You know, I had a moment where I just did something that was kind of like, it's very, you know, goofy dad thing. And I don't know, maybe it's coincidence, but I honest to God think it fired up my wife's loins at a level that I've never seen before. And it's just, here's the thing. I think we are all wired that way. When we flipped it around, we got comments of a guy who's like, I know it sounds really weird and sexist and I don't mean it to be, but I like the idea of a woman cleaning a house or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's not an insult. That does not mean that he thinks all women, he doesn't look at Hillary Clinton and go, yeah, come on, bitch. No, he's just saying that this is for me and I want an old fashioned girl who could churn some fucking butter with my junk. And no, I'm kidding. But no, I want a girl who could churn some butter. I like that part of it. And it was not necessary. And I think what it is that deep down psychologically, particularly people who choose this lifestyle are more into the things associated with the lifestyle, then they are necessarily a perfectly shaped, you know, C cup plus breast.
Okay. A lovely speech you've made. No,
I do that a lot. I do that a lot. Not all of them are lovely.
There's a flaw in your logic there that I wanted to circle back to and have you tell me I'm full of it and not buy into it at all. But here we go.
You want me to do that now or wait till you're done?
Yeah, just give me a second.
Because I think if I do it now, people have to drink. I don't know. I may.
Oh, no. I was probably a new set of rules for today. No, listen. You said the women on the show are, okay, your first statement is, men don't care as much as you think. Women, calm down. You're beautiful the way you are. Really, that's where you start.
Yes.
Subsequent to that, you say, the women who listen to this show, all very attractive. I've seen Facebook pictures, he says. I say, yeah, sure. Okay, so, and then you say, and you know what? Probably they're married. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings to schlubby guys.
Right.
Okay, so you have schlubby guys who seem to care that they have pretty women.
No.
Yeah, well, I mean, aren't those two things related? Furthermore, it also sounds like all the unattractive women aren't married.
What do you mean?
Well, when you say that the women who listen to the show are attractive and they have husbands who are schlubby.
I have 2,000 people that listen to the show. That's not a representation of the entire, trust me. Okay. I would like it to be all of America.
That's true.
But I've also seen women that are, to me,
yes,
to me, deemed unattractive,
right,
that are married. Just like the rest of us see, you know, what's her name? Courtney Thorne Shoemaker or whatever. The hot chick from, that's the example everybody uses, according to Jim. Like this hot blonde actress.
Courtney Thorne Smith.
Yeah.
Oh, so, who's now 60, but go on.
And hot.
Okay, I haven't still seen hot. Her in a long time. I gotta look her up.
So you put her with someone like Jim Belushi. It's like, but here's the thing. Everybody's like she would ever. But yes, that's exactly what happens.
Right.
To go back to your other point, I don't think that these guys that are married they don't marry these women because of their looks. I don't buy it for a minute. Everybody does the same thing to me where it's like every time I talk about this, you do it to me one time.
Yeah.
You foolishly did it right in front of your wife, which was very weird for me.
Yes,
but yeah. But this idea that like my wife is very pretty and to think that is why I chose her. That is why I'm with her.
Right.
Here's the thing is, the only reason I am with my wife is because a guy my senior year in high school bet that she would not go out on a date with me.
Bet you that she would not.
Yes.
Not her.
Yes.
Right. She wasn't trying to win a bet.
So she was just a random person
right. That
was chosen.
So even he didn't think that you were good enough to go out with her.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so everyone's felt the same way about this relationship for a while.
My entire life.
Oh, that's cool.
And so here's the thing is that it wasn't until I got to know her. Now, I'm not so foolish to think that when you see a woman, like say you meet her at a bar and you're like, oh, she's pretty. You know what I mean? But to say that there is a type. That everybody, all guys are only attracted to Brooklyn Decker and can never be incredibly turned on by their wives, even after they've been with them for 30 years. I think that is stupid as all get out.
I agree. I'm not arguing with the idea that women are way too sensitive about how they look and are holding them to some standard that only other women are holding them to. That's the thing. I think that most of this situation, when I go to Doreen and she's like, oh, I can't do X, Y, Z because people will notice. I'm like, nobody's going to notice that. And she says, no, the women will notice it.
Right.
And they'll be saying things to each other and to themselves about me. And I don't want that to happen. So it's not the men they're worried about. It's the women they're worried about.
But I don't think it's the men that – here's the thing. Yes. I don't think it's the men that ultimately decide what women do for the most part. But I think
it's the gay men.
That's true. I think, but the reason why I say this as often as I do is because I think that it's the men's opinion that should be the only one that matters.
Okay.
Did that come out right?
That did not come out right. I'm not going to go anywhere near that one.
No, what I'm saying is that ultimately, here's the thing. I always look at what I can and can't control. Which reminds me of something that I need to plug. I can't control what other women look at my wife and see, and that's not for me to weigh in on. But what I can control is my ability to communicate to my wife what I see and what I think of her.
Yes.
And I think that is important.
Yes.
And that's why it's come up on the show. It's not like this is all I talk about in my personal life. People come over and I go, see, I watch her in the shower. I talk about it really only on this show because I've noticed that through talking and joking about my wife's body changing after having kids in my stand-up, I've noticed that I see a very specific reaction from the women and the men in the room. And it is very important to me, to be quite frank and honest and more serious than I should be at this god-awful early. There's part-time jobs happening and it's early. But that I like that idea of it. And I know that on this show, people that are listening for a while are like, yeah, fucking stop talking about it, I'm sure. But maybe there's somebody new or whatever. But I like the idea of me saying something, just like that adult coming up to the kid in the Target and saying, knock it off, being a different perspective is that I could look at my wife forever and say, you know, oh, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, but it doesn't hit the same as when she will have a story where the cashier or something kind of flirted with her or whatever, or got nervous, or she caught somebody checking out her butt in because they look in the glass.
Uh-huh.
I've learned at the windows
so
when you're walking by.
I can make her day, is what you're telling me?
No, you cannot. You're too close for comfort. is what will happen. I mean, you could try. You could try to make your day, but it'll really fuck up yours. I can tell you from firsthand knowledge, my wife is not a chick you want to step to.
No, listen.
Unless you better come correct, son.
I could never. If that guy had walked up to me and said, "I bet you you can," I said, "I bet you you're right." And then that would have been the end of it. I never would have been married to her. No.
Oh,
way out of
gosh.
My league.
Let's see. Do we have time for this? Yes, we do. This is something fun. Despite popular assumptions, birth order isn't important, says new study. If you believe that the birth order of siblings is a major factor in personality development, you're not alone. Shelves of popular books have been written on the topic with titles like The Birth Order Advantage and Born to Rebel and The Birth Order Book, Why You Are the Way You Are. This is a pop psych thesis that sold a lot of books and filled a lot of talk show time. Oops. And many have assumed that it's solid in science. But according to the results of the largest study ever conducted on birth order and personality, it's all much ado about nothing. Researchers studied 377,000 high school students to find out how much birth order affected their personality development and intelligence. They found that firstborns is going to ruin some Thanksgivings unless you are the firstborn. Then it's going to make every day great when you get with your family and your siblings.
Yeah.
They found that firstborns do have slightly higher IQs than their later-born siblings, but only 1 point higher, a statistically significant but practically meaningless difference. Firstborns also tend to score higher on certain personality traits like extroversion, agreeableness,
I like that,
and conscientiousness. But the differences between their scores and those of laterborns, according to researchers, infinitesimally small. Overall, the association between birth order and personality was statistically 0.02, which is well below level of perception. Previous birth order studies have relied on much smaller sample sizes and have tended to compare siblings within specific families. This study also examined a subset of children living within families, and the results confirmed those of the larger study. Differences between siblings were slight, if any. This may be a good example of a pop psychology topic becoming so influential that over the years, it has affected how parents interact with their children. If parents begin with an assumption that their firstborn will be smarter and have a stronger personality than his or her siblings, that assumption can color how all of the children are treated. Quoting study co-author Radhika Domain, the message of this study is that birth order probably should not influence your parenting because it's not meaningfully related to your kid's personality or IQ. Now, what I thought was interesting is that I always kind of assumed that oldest kid is going to be, you know, most responsible and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I looked at it. I'm guessing, based on what they said, is that that's because of my dad. My dad's family, that was the kind of the first example that I saw of siblings.
Yes.
My mom, my real mom, is a middle child. My stepmom is an only child.
Uh-huh.
So there wasn't another example there, but I could definitely, there is a chasm of a difference between my father and my uncles. There
right,
is,
right.
It is ungodly.
yes, I can't speak to it in terms of having been tested. Or both of them? I know that I'm not going to say anything. I'm not even fake names. Nothing. There's nothing I can say about this that won't get me in trouble somehow. Okay. So I'm going to stay away from that.
Well, I can say that it's for me.
I don't like to think my older sister is smarter than I am. I mean, if you look at our lives.
That's what I mean. If you're the younger sibling, this is like, you must hate this. But at the same time, it kind of validates. Like, she isn't smarter than you.
Right. Well, I was going to say is if you look at our lives, you can't tell any difference in terms of that. It's not like one of us is running a corporation and one of us isn't.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what it's saying. There's a 0.02 difference in between you and your sibling.
Right.
Now, when I look at my kids, I always assume my honest-to-goodness effort was to try to avoid this.
Right.
To where, and the way that I decided to do it is that I am not going to treat Jack. I have to make a conscientious effort to not treat Jack any different than I did Jacob.
Right.
I have the same level of expectation. And it was very difficult because, as I've said, Jacob is a salesman. Jack, all he's got is charm. He loses those fucking eyelashes and that fucking smile and look at you. He is dead in the water. He is toast.
Right,
and
right.
So and I think it's that thing that we kind of look at that it's like, oh, the baby kind of does that. That's what they do.
Right.
And so I'm hoping to alleviate that. But as far as like extroverted stuff, Jacob can hold his own. He can hang with adults and all that stuff. But Jack, infinitely more extroverted. Like he just comes up. He not only comes up to people and starts a conversation, he comes up to people and starts telling them what to do. Like he doesn't even know. He's like, here's what you need to do.
Right. This is it. And he should run a diner.
Yes, exactly. He could correct. He could come correct at some 2-year-old kids crying. But here's some. I talked about it.
I'm sorry. Here's another one of my my patented interruptions that are meaningless.
It's okay. I think somebody has to drink.
Going back to that previous one, at the very end, that's why I took the paper. You quoted an author or something that they referenced in that thing, or they quoted an author. A woman, I am assuming. The name was... You just said it as though we've heard this name a million times. R-O-D-I-C-K-A, Rodica. First of all...
Rodica Domain.
Yeah. I've never heard the name Rodica. It sounds like you wanted
a boy. She dropped her first name, Erica, because she didn't like being known as Erotica Domain.
That's where I was headed as well. But the first thing is, it sounds like you wanted a boy. Well, we're going to call it Rod if it's a boy and Rodica if it's a girl.
Because that'll never happen. Right. Not from these lords, honey.
And yes, and that's so close to erotica that I was like, what did he say? Who wrote that book?
And you're not familiar with the works of Rodica Domain.
No, I'm not.
I thought you would be more read than me.
More learned. Yeah. No.
No, sorry. You're definitely more learned. I'm shocked that I am aware of Rodica Domain, to where I would just, to me, she's insignificant.
I see.
Unjustly so. But,
right.
But you'll find out. Trust me.
I looked up agreeableness.
Uh-huh.
I just Googled it.
Is it irregardless of a word?
No, it is a word. I just didn't know. I was going to be a snarky dick about
Rodica
it.
Also.
She's on top of it.
She's teaching you a few
things.
What
was funny to me is I'll show you and then I'll tell the listeners. It's like, you know, when you say someone's picture is next to the whatever in the dictionary, yes. They have a picture of Jack McBriar, who played that overly friendly page.
On 30 Rock.
On 30 Rock, next to agreeableness. I'm
a friend of mine did an improv show with him when he was first breaking on 30 Rock.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, that must have been fun. And he goes, yeah. He goes, it was actually kind of weird. And I go, why? He goes, because he is exactly like that character. He is constantly just the nicest person you will ever see. And to where you're like, you do know you could turn it off, right? We're backstage doing drinking games as warm-ups. Like, it's totally fine. Right. I talked about there. I don't know if you are a follower of what I am now going to call Costco-ology. Do you worship at the throne of Costco?
No, I don't.
Well, I know many a person who does, and I don't personally get it. I don't see how it's cost effective, but I found this as a little thing, and these are 13 things you might not know about Costco. Number one, you don't actually need a Costco membership to shop there, which is a total horseshit headline, because this is what it says. Big box stores like Costco and Sam's Club are able to offer low prices because of massive purchasing orders and profits that are subsidized by member fees. No membership card, no gallon drums of mayo for you. But there is one loophole. If you know a member, they can purchase a Costco cash, i.e. gift card, on your behalf, which you could use at your leisure. Costco policy states you don't need to be a member in order to use this payment method, but your success may be store dependent. Some employees get a little irate when you can't produce your membership card at the door. They're messing with your brains. Brainwashing is an unadvertised membership perk. Costco often stocks a variety of large ticket items, expensive handbags, entire barrels of Jack Daniel's whiskey, not necessarily because they expect to move those items, but because retailers know that the desire and excitement they cause releases dopamine. Mm. Now you're shopping in a pleasure state and are more likely to splurge on items that grumpy and budget-conscious people avoid. I like that being smart with your money is always associated with Scrooge. You know, like,
and is that same sort of theory at work in the sex shop when they have the giant hogs on the mounted on the wall?
It depends, because I feel like if I walked into a sex shop, and by the way, Sam's Club of sex shop.
Oh,
that's an invention that's going to make us very, very wealthy.
I'd like to release my dopamine.
Right. What would we call it? I mean, because we can't call it like Pleasure Club. It's got
no, I understand.
It's got to have some kind of either we go fuck co, you know what I mean? Like, we go right at you, but instead of the U, we do the asterisk symbol.
Yes.
I would like to see that in a big red and blue sign.
Okay.
Or I would also go in you co. Then it's a little more innuendo, if you would. Put it in you co.
Right.
Then what's some good names? I mean, Dick's Club is the easiest,
I feel like.
If you want to go the
same. Now, are you literally talking about a brick and mortar place, or is this an online place?
I'm going brick and mortar.
Wow, you're old school.
I want you to be able to buy dildos in bulk.
Well, okay, good. You know, maybe you're getting something from the school that has a thing that lists things they need.
Yeah.
And you need to
That's what we do.
Them.
Oh my gosh. We call it Dick's Club.
Okay.
And what you do is you could go in there, you could buy 48 multicolored, because we don't segregate our dildos.
No, no, no.
You could buy 48 multicolored dildos that come in a 5-gallon bucket, okay? And we also are registered with your local public elementary school for all of your Ticonderoga pencil needs.
Oh, there you go.
And you to one-stop shopping. And then eventually we'll work our way into, because here's what I would also
I was very
like.
Scared about where you were headed with this.
I also, because, you know, Costco sells coffins. I would like to be able to sell a coffin that takes care of you in the afterlife.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just a little. Going while you transition into the next world, if you would. I think that would be a high selling item. I really think it would.
I gotcha. I keep planning my my own funeral. In various ways. Not that it's coming up anytime soon.
Yeah.
No, I'm fine. But I want to do.
Is this what people in advanced age do?
Yeah, they do.
You take Centrum and plan your funeral.
Yeah. You start to get in touch with your own mortality. And one thing is, I wanted Diego to do the eulogy, but it was going to be a Mad Lib.
Yes, you did say. Okay. Oh, did we talk about this off air? Yes,
we probably talked about it off air. And now it just occurs to me that I think I'm going to put you in charge of slipping the something in my pants that will make it look in the open coffin as though I've got a Woody.
Yeah.
Just so that there's a little tent there.
You know what I like about your understanding of me is that you are operating under the assumption that I would not do that unless instructed.
I see. Well, good then.
How, if you're going to have a Mad Lib read at your funeral,
right.
At some point it's like, man, look at the rigor mortis on this guy. Luna! I just do a fist up in the air, you know, like, yeah, you're going to miss that. Yeah. no ID? Airport security will accept a Costco card. With the transportation, this makes you feel safe, right?
Yeah.
So, Transportation Security Administration's strict security measures, you'd think a government-issued ID would be the only way you're getting through a checkpoint. Well, KPIX 5 in San Francisco discovered that TSA will accept everything from utility bills to Costco cards as proof of identity. The catch? You're more likely to get a pat-down or a swab test than if you used your driver's license. They've upset Brad Pitt. How they're still in business, I have no idea. Brad Pitt has called upon Costco to stop selling eggs produced from cage-raised hens. In July, Pitt wrote to CEO Greg Jelinek, asking him to get a timetable for a company overhaul of its bird policy. Many major corporations, from Burger King to Unilever, who I think makes soap. I don't know why they're buying chickens. That's scary. And getting rid of cages, Pitt wrote, apparently hoping the shame of being less animal conscious than Burger King would motivate them to action. The rotisserie chicken has its own fan page. The company moves 157,000 whole birds every single day.
Oh, my
God. Estimating they lose $30 to $40 million a year by sticking to a $4.99 price point in order to keep members happy and foot traffic high.
Wow.
Devotees trade recipe ideas for the chicken on a Facebook fan page.
I understand you can also get 3 full-size pancakes at Costco.
Oh, poor Marcy. They have horse and buggy parking for the Amish in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, anyway. The county is home to a large population of Amish, so the company decided to construct a livestock parking stall as a courtesy. There's a rail to tie the horse to, and a roof shields them from inclement weather. Per the Addicted to Costco blog, the reserve space leaves an unanswered question. Which lucky employee gets to clean up after the horses?
I guess I don't. For some reason, I know what Amish, I know what the rules are, but somehow it doesn't seem like Costco should fit into that.
Yeah, I feel like as long as they're not the ones contributing to the electrical technology, that they're it's legit.
Or do they have to close their eyes when they're inside? It takes them a really long time to shop.
Comics who go to Pittsburgh and Philly, I'm sure, have beat this to death, but it's like what they do is they hire people to run their credit card machines so that they can take credit card payments for their goods. So they don't actually do it. They don't run the credit, but they hire
the loophole that some Jewish families use.
Yeah, for Saturday or something,
a goyim.
A goyim, that's right. Yeah. I was going to say moil, and that's a very different switch that they're handling. that is a toggle that you do not want messed with.
You don't want it thrown once, let alone twice.
I like this one. They once had to recall a punching bag filled with dirty underwear. Through a manufacturing hiccup that may never be fully understood, Costco was forced to send out a public recall notice after discovering punching bags made by TKO Incorporated were filled with dirty men's and women's underwear instead of sand. In 2007, Fox reported that a Cincinnati family was distraught to find thongs, bathing suits, and bras inside of their new purchase. Anyone who bought the bag got a replacement and a shipping label to send the laundry back.
Right. I tell you what, that's an employee at the place who has a fetish but can't collect it at home. So he keeps stuffing it. He came into his locker one day. He was like, where's my bag?
I always am curious, how hard are you hitting a punching bag that you can find a thong inside it? Honey, I punched a lot of things, but that feels like an underwire. They consider shopping to be a treasure hunt. Costco's floor plan may seem haphazard, but like most things in retail, it's been very carefully designed to maximize business. The company regularly relocates necessities like toiletries, light bulbs, and other frequently replenished items, so the customer has to begin a search or treasure hunt for them. The strategy exposes shoppers to new areas of the store and their wallets to new trauma.
Target does that all the time. Every six or 8 months, they move a bunch of stuff around, and I go, you mother effers.
They once labeled the Bible as fiction.
Ooh.
Yikes. A Simi Valley pastor incited a minor Twitter flare-up in November 2013 when he was browsing in a Costco and noticed their copies of the Bible were labeled fiction. The company deemed it a labeling error, and there is some corroborating evidence that points to a wider trend. The following month, a memoir from fictional, imbecilic newscaster Ron Burgundy was filed under nonfiction.
I didn't even realize that people at Costco could read. So this is news for me.
Now they are a religion. They sell more cars than almost anyone. Costco moved nearly 400,000 cars in 2014.
A day. Like the chicken.
Well, you have to buy them in bulk. They come with a truck. Making it the nation's second largest car dealer, but they don't actually get a portion of the sale. And in another attempt to provide value for membership fees, the company negotiates directly with the dealer for a set price, then acts as an intermediary for the customer.
I've never heard of buying a car at Costco, so this is confusing to me.
Well, I think they always have like two or three that are around. Right. You could get literally like that caskets, tires. I remember when they first introduced tires because I was like, what?
Did that chunk start with you saying they sell more cars than anyone?
Almost
anyone. Okay. I was like, second isn't all everything.
They're secretly one of the biggest pizza chains around because pizza is only one component of Costco's food service. It doesn't really qualify as a pizza franchise. Bend the definition a little bit, though, and they could make a strong case for industry dominance. With nearly 500 stores, they're among the top 20 footprints of pizza chains in the country. To keep up with demand, their stores are usually equipped with automatic sauce spinners, and they had a photo of it, and it's like you have a pizza dough, and it's just got what looks like a record player.
Oh, really?
That's what they did with all the old record players that nobody uses, is now they use them to put pizza sauce.
Wasn't there like a spin art thing in the 70s you know, where you put the – sounds like the same
It was that, deal. And record players are now being used to put sauce in Costco's pizzas.
Jessica says in the chat room that they did their Disney trip through Costco.
Yep.
But she has a really big family. They had to bring 40 people.
No, they bought 8 trips is what it was. That's why they brought all those people chipped in like a timeshare.
I see.
A couple got married in the frozen food section. I love these stories.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, a lot of people look at this and go, who the fuck? But I look at it not as who the fuck, but I'm like, who the fuck did that? I would love to just hang out and chat with those people.
Right.
That's I want to get married at Costco's frozen food
section. You got all those sample trays hanging around. Boom. There's your
reception. It's
already,
reception's done. It's catered.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody. Going over to aisle 26.
Aisle 8 for the toast, everybody. That's where the booze are.
They just move around.
Yeah. It's the day every bride dreams of, walking down the frozen foods aisle to meet her groom. Robert and Meredith Bonilla were married atop a pallet at a Santa Maria, California Costco in December 2014, a year after meeting at the store. Management gave them permission to hold the ceremony after operating hours. I love that stuff. They have
also conceived their first child in that same Costco aisle. Yeah.
They didn't
wait till after hours.
I like that the Costco manager didn't think about that. Like, no, we want to do it all here. We met here.
Yeah.
We're going to get married here. Yeah. We will conceive here.
One of them will murder the other in a Costco.
Did you hear about let me finish this. They have everything you need for a funeral. Just because you're dead doesn't mean the savings have to stop. That's a very well put sentence. I like that. The retailer offers an entire array of funeral necessities, including caskets, urns, and flowers. The coffins are shipped directly to the mortuary of choice. For the easily confused, Costco reminds members that they are not a licensed funeral home and may not offer or perform funeral services yet. That's what that said.
Right.
There's a big story that I keep seeing when I'm looking for stories for work that keeps coming up about this Chinese couple.
Yeah.
That evidently, have you heard of this? It's a viral video that they went into some very popular department store.
I haven't heard of anything.
And fornicated in a changing room and taped it on their cell phone.
No, I don't think I know about it.
And it's gone viral and it's become this huge thing. And the store has banned them. That says they're not allowed to come because you could see their faces in it.
Internet has banned them.
Yeah, exactly. And the people are now going and taking like selfies. It's become a thing where it's like, look at where I am.
Yeah.
And it's made it. It's like Ariana Grande licking those donuts. And then they tripled their business or whatever after being downgraded to a B.
Right.
But for people who don't live in Los Angeles, all the restaurants and stuff get like an A, B. I haven't seen anything lower than like a C.
That doesn't help happen. That's not a universal thing.
I think I've only seen it here in L.A. So they put that in the window, and that's supposed to be their letter grade from the food inspector or whatever.
I'm imagining Marcy doesn't have an A.
Well, she just got downgraded to an F for aggressive.
Yeah.
But it just was interesting because I was like, this must be some like hot video or something like that.
Oh,
no, it's very amateur. It's very like, it's exactly what you and I would do, except for now you're doing it in a changing room.
Right.
Which, by the way, here's the thing that's interesting. A younger Justin in his 20s never would have been on the table. Mid-30s Justin, definitely going to check that off a bucket list at some point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That will be happening.
I want to talk more about this sex tape that you and I might make.
What do you mean?
Well, you were saying you and I can make a sex tape. It wouldn't look like this. Yeah, you were saying.
No, I mean,
if we did it. No, I see.
Like, as a people. If you want to make a sex tape, if it'll allow me to quit my job and retire, because this 29 hours a week, which, by the way, you know, I give myself a lot of guff on the show, but I recently realized.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know, that's a good point. You keep joking, but why is it so, like, you literally, at points, I'm like, this is bullshit. I'm busy. And it's because it's only 11 hours short of a full-time job. I'm putting in 29, because I was like, man, I'm a big pansy. I mean, I'm still a pansy.
Right.
But just not as much of a pansy as I thought.
You are a hero.
I am nothing short of.
You should stop calling it a part-time job. You should start calling it a nearly full-time job.
Nearly full-time. I'm going to upgrade myself to a business card.
Well, mathematically, you're correct.
I don't know what I'm going to do. There's rumblings of offering this daddy a full-time position.
I could think that
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yes, I was already doing that math going.
So we'll end with this. Oh, man, we're long. I got to get out of here. But this is a big story that I think is very, very interesting. Do me a favor, if you don't mind. Look up the U.S. population. Because I'm sure many of you have heard of this on a news outlet or something, because it's a big news, because this Ashley Madison site is so salacious in nature.
Yes.
I'm sure you're all aware, but Ashley Madison is a website, like a dating site, but you can go if you are already married or in a relationship. So it is a website that you could go to and essentially cheat, find somebody
for cheaters.
Yeah. So they recently were hacked. And the idea, what's it say? So 318, we'll just bump that up to 319 million people in the U.S.
Well, it's probably come to that while we were doing this podcast.
37 million users had their information taken from, and they boast, I read somewhere else that they boast around 40 million. So now that's probably globally. I'm assuming Ashley Madison isn't exclusive to the U.S., but even then, that's what I found very interesting. I don't know that I would buy that all those people are cheating. I mean, I've been a guy who's on the road. I set up a profile that was fake for Farmers Only, just for comedic purpose. I was just curious to see what kind of guys. Have you heard of this? Farmers Only? It's a website.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
So I did that. So I think a lot of these users might be people who are just like, I wonder what kind of chicks or dudes, like, you know what I mean, are out there. We talked about after Mother's
Day.
Well,
that's how they explain it to their spouse when when they
that's
get
true.
Caught.
That's a good point. That's me. This is me laying the groundwork right now. Right. You foiled my plan again. Now I'm Mr. Crowley in the Scooby-Doo's.
we ran into the wife of a friend of ours at a restaurant yesterday, and she was there with a guy, and she came over. There was no need to, but she came over, and she went into this explanation about why she was there with this guy. It's her boss, and so on and so forth. And I'm like, yeah. Who are you trying to convince?
Well, here's the thing. So they talked about this a little bit at the station, but it's like, so essentially, like I said, 1 in 10 people. So if we have 2,000 people that listen to the show, you could reason that 200 people listening to the show have created, maybe even participated in Ashley Madison. And that, to me, is jaw-dropping. I'm like, wow, right. That's crazy interesting.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I also found interesting is that one of the people I talked to on the station, at the station, said that a friend of his found his sister on Ashley Madison.
Uh-oh.
Like, recognized her. And he was like, it was very funny. I was trying to get them to talk about it on the air because he was like, and then I said, they said, well, it's weird because I thought he was kind of like politely trying to ask if he could bone my sister. Isn't it weird that she's on there? Like, that's funny, right?
Right,
just
right.
Awkward silence. Just, I saw your sis. That's weird, right? She's on the website. I don't know. Nothing? No.
Just a death stare.
But they're making this big deal like it's such a, and evidently these hackers are saying that they want them to shut down the site because they feel like they're destroying relationships or yes, whatever. And yes. I venture a guess that of these 37 people, this is more of a representation.
37 million.
Billion, yeah.
30 countries, by the way.
Thank you. That this is more of a representation of that, you know, two-thirds divorce. These are relationships that are already struggling. This
right,
is not
right.
Your average household of, you know, happily content married
are
people.
Are you required to be, well, obviously no. There's no documentation.
Yeah, I don't think you are.
What was my question?
To I thought be married, were, to be on
okay,
the site.
Okay, I thought you were just making a joke by just telling me no.
No, no. Okay. No, I saw where you're going.
This was a yes and.
Yeah.
Right.
No, not.
Right. Don't even get my line out. Okay. Well, then, God only knows what's going on.
Right?
Out there, yeah.
There was something else in here that I wanted to see, but I think that's it. I think that's it. I think we did it. Well, that was a really fucked up ending to the show. And for that, I apologize. But
listen, it's their own fault for listening.
Well put, Paco. So send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. We're looking for questions for Rachel, the lovely Rachel we're going to have on the show. Do not have a date scheduled because I've been working. And also, I want to apologize for the lack of quickies that have come out because now it's, my schedule is all flipped around. I'm learning the board. I ran the board at a 50,000-watt radio station on Saturday and Sunday.
Wow.
And I go back in tomorrow. I don't know if I'll actually be. They probably won't let you do it on a weekday. But I didn't know this, thankfully, until afterwards. But it's very interesting. And I say this because obviously not everybody or anybody listening works at a radio station. But
yeah.
You all work at jobs, hopefully. And this is maybe that might be old hat to you, right. But to this guy, this is new stuff. But and that's also why I like it, is I'm so ignorant. But it's like you have a 50,000 watt station. The signal of this station, it was explained to me, extends all the way into Utah. You could get KFI AM 640 into Utah.
Wow.
And that's not counting like streaming services or anything like that.
Right.
And they have very smart people.
Yeah.
But people in radio, much like people in comedy, there's a reason why Daddy finds these industries a little weird.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, lackeys, basically. Like people that, you know, would be entry level positions are manning a 60 channel board responsible for emergency alert systems. I had to send out a flood warning.
Wow.
I learned how to do that on set. You know, the where you get a fax machine through your car stereo.
You had to send one out?
I had to send one out. There was a flood warning in Oxnard.
Oh, because of the rain we were having.
Yes, we had actual water falling from the skies in California. Everywhere else, they just call it rain. Here is an emergency.
Yeah.
Maybe a reason why we're in a drought.
There was not that much rain. I mean,
it was a lot, but in a short amount of time. But I think up in the hills, that means floods and stuff because of the fires and all that, yada, yada, yada. But anyway, so it's interesting to me that they will take these very important positions and fill them with kind of lackey, you know, not very extremely, like you would assume, I would assume, maybe that's a better way of saying that the person who's in charge of a 50,000 watt station with FCC regulations galore would be somebody who's at least making six figures.
Right.
Not competing just above a McDonald's employee.
Right, or at least not inbred.
though that get these guys are not that and gals.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. If that, but here's the thing: if that was it, I would not be surprised. I would not. I would be like, yeah, all right. Well, he's doing overnights, which is not cool because the guy doing overnights is a very nice guy.
But you just talked yourself out of a full time job.
I know, right? No, they don't listen. No, she actually might. Oh, that'd be absolutely. But here's the thing: I just thought it was And it's all mostly because I don't get it, but because I'm new to, I'm trying to navigate this whole thing. I had a foot and mouth situation.
Yes.
Did I talk about my braggadociousness
already
on the show or no? No, because this happened this last week. Okay, good.
Okay.
So I'm there, and I'm sorry, I'm going to talk about me for half a second.
Right. But you're where?
I'm at the station.
At your part-time job.
At my part-time job. Okay. Thank you. I'm trying. I think people have to drink every time. I don't know.
That's why
I'm trying not to influence it. But anyway, so I'm there at the station, and one of the guys who's a friend of mine who was hired, he was an intern there and worked his way up and all this stuff, and he's been helping me out a lot to kind of get the ropes of it. And he says, so how did your first day on the board go? You got it mastered? And I said, well, these are his words, not mine, the guy training me. But I go, I believe he put it, I have never seen anyone pick up the board so fast in my life, is what he said. Yeah, quote unquote.
Right.
And so he goes, well, and then one of the producers that I was filling in for, she was like, well, look at you, don't toot your own horn. I said, well, if nobody else is going to pick it up and play it, I guess I have to. I'll carry this burden. And then she comes out of her office and takes her glasses off and does this great character where she's like, I know you all, and like announces to the corral of cubicle, I know you all have been doing this for 20 years, but I've mastered it in 2 months. You know, it's what she does and goes back in. And then Tim Conway, who's like, he's the night show guy, and he does 7 to 10. It's a great show, very funny, and he's one of the more popular shows on the network.
Yeah.
He says, she goes, next you'll be trying to do Timmy's job. And so he has a lot of catchphrases because he's very funny.
Right.
So I go, how hard could it be? You say ding dong 8 times and talk to a 9-year-old, and he does a lot of audio stuff. So I go, and you hit the space bar or whatever, and we all had a good laugh. And so then they said, why don't you do Robin's job? That's the program director, who, by the way, was voted the number one off-air person in LA radio. Like, so she is essentially the number one program director in Los Angeles radio.
Wow.
Is the fantastic lady who had the good sense to bring me on board. So clearly she knows what she's doing, I think, is what the lesson that I think we're all talking about.
I think so.
Thinking in our inner.
I think so.
All right. So then she goes, why don't you try to do Robin's job too? I said, you know what? I'm going to go see if she needs any help. And I started to walk towards her office. And then my boss, who's the operations manager, he was walking behind me and I didn't know it. And he goes, so you got to do Shafe's job too? I go, if he needs it, you know? And then the guy goes, hey, Shafe. he goes, Justin said if you need him to, he could do your job now. He's ready to start training or whatever. That is one of the few times I became very embarrassed because I knew I'd been had. And I got very red in the face. So blah, 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 yaki schmacky. Sorry for that boring story.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
So send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Questions for Rachel. Go to the Facebook page. You can leave us a voicemail, 877-222-8323. Or hell, put that in your phone and call us live during the show. Although, if anybody did, I hope it shows up here because I actually did not pay a single attention amount of attention. Okay, good. Nobody called. All the social media handles are in the description of this episode. You can listen live. We will be back, hopefully, Friday. Might be, I don't know, because I don't know what my schedule is going to look like. Might be at 7 a.m., might be at 10 a.m. Pacific this Friday.
Okay.
I'm trying my best, and I apologize. And new episode of Justin is Married, Booker is Single will be available probably after Tuesday, depending on when you're listening to this. And then now Paco is going to tell you about our Amazon banner.
Here's the thing, people. I haven't gone back to the well in quite some time. So I'm going to do it right now. And bring you Michael Caine, apparently, because somebody will make... he didn't even know what I was doing.
I didn't know what you mean by back to the well. I'm like, I just thought maybe Michael Caine doesn't have indoor plumbing.
That's it. Yes. I'm out to the loo. I'm going to the WC. Here's what you need to do. You need to go to the Dad Podcast website and scroll down to the bottom there. There's a beautiful Amazon banner. It's been put there just for you. And go ahead and click on that and see where it takes you. I'll tell you where it takes you. Spoiler alert. It takes you. It takes you to Amazon. It's a fantastic website. They have nearly everything in the world there. I don't know that they sell cars, but they might. Or the things you can get at Costco. Certainly you can get many of the same things at Amazon that you can get at Costco. I don't think you can get married there. But in any case, it is a website. So... What you're going to do is you're going to bookmark that website when you're there. And then every time you feel the urge to go back to Amazon and purchase one of these many wonderful things that they have, you're going to click on that bookmark. And what's going to happen through the magic of technology is that it's going to cost you nothing. Now, let's get that straight right from the start. It's not going to cost you a thing, but it's going to mean the world to us. And we're going to appreciate it, and we're going to laugh at your expense. So thank you very much, and do that.
On behalf of Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, this is Justin Worship saying, hug your kids, hump your loved ones, and stay frosty, everybody.